This is Beth Smith. I'm talking today with Flora Harrison. And we're at her home at 114 East 4th Street. Good afternoon, Flora. How are you?
Hi, Beth. How are you?
Good. Well, can you tell us about Salida in the early days?
Well, I don't guess I go back as far as you think I do.
That's right.
I came here in 1952, but I'd like to tell you about the first time I saw Salida. We were living in Denver, and my husband, one who liked to go turkey hunting, was going to go turkey hunting down by Pagosia Springs. And we had a pair of toddlers at the time, and one still in diapers. And when we were coming across Trout Creek Pass, we stopped to stretch our legs, and there's the diapers. So we drove to the nearest town that was to our route, and that was Salida. And there was a freight company here, Motorways, Rio Grande Motorways, and we put the diapers on the Rio Grande Motorways and got them back up to the babysitter and went on about our turkey hunt. Got there a day late, didn't know it, didn't get a turkey, that's all right. And then I don't know what other times I was through Salida. Everybody says they went through Salida. But one of the times we were here, we were coming from Grand Junction to Kansas. My husband had elderly parents in Kansas and business centers, so we were always going to Hutchinson, Kansas. And he was testing Grand Junction as a possible place to move from Denver, where we were living. And we got to about the top of the pass, and they had a giant snow slide. We were up there for 10 hours. So that we came down and went to the motel at the head of S Street with the welcome letters, Steam Heated Rainbow Motel. In those days, there weren't all that many motels in Salida. There was that one. It was one of the major ones, and the Costello one over on 291 close to the river, and I don't know what other ones. But that was my introduction to where Salida was when Robert started fussing about he couldn't stand the city any longer. This was about 1950, you know. So in 1952, having purchased a place out in Adobe Park, do you know Adobe Park, Beth? Okay. Is a location, all right. We moved there on June the 15th, and I had brought a start of every little plant I had in my Denver yard, and I nearly wore myself out. We had no idea that the soil was 2 inches deep on top of Donies, floodplain rocks along the Arkansas River, because we were quite up from the river. But that's how we got to going in Salida. And we came to church. We've always been Methodist, and we came down to the Methodist church the first Sunday we're here. Got there early because we were accustomed to have to spend so much time driving to the downtown church and finding a parking place. So that was an interesting thing that doesn't happen these days at the Methodist church, which, in spite of having built a parking lot, and in spite of the churches, there's four churches right around there, having their parking lots, it's still difficult to park on Sunday morning. That's one of the big differences you see in Salida. And I think that when I think about the changes over the years, transportation is the number one thing. In those days, they still had a train that went into Denver, and or you could go up to Glenwood Springs and take a night and stay in a hotel and splash in the pool up there and come back by train. Quite a nice outing. And I don't know what year the train discontinued, but when I was a PTA president, which I believe was 1958, they sent me to Denver on the train, I remember. It was just the thing you did. And it was handy. And then one time there was rumors the train was going to be quitting. And at that time I was working with Bluebirds, and the other mothers and I got together, and the children were put on the plane, on the train with the mothers, and went up to Buena Vista and came back by bus. And now there's no bus like that. In those days, you could ride the train, as I've said, to Denver or north, where you either went on to the west or back over to Denver. Or you could ride a bus that came up from the Alamosa area and went through South Park to Denver. It was a really quite a scenic way and an easy way. It was when Continental buses had the slogan, let us do the driving. And if you happen to get up there in a ground blizzard and you're sitting in the bus above the blizzard, you'd say, oh, they're doing the driving for me. It was not very nice, very nice. But there was also bus service between Grand Junction and Pueblo then. Now, if we want a bus, once a day we can go to Pueblo, or once a day we can come back from Pueblo, and same for Grand Junction. The bus connects Grand Junction to Pueblo. And in those days, there was a taxi. And I think for many of us in this elderly age group, I'm 83, not having a taxi available is one of the worst things. We have a rather formal arrangement with the Chaffee County Transportation, but you have to have an advance and you have to go to certain places. You can't just say, hey, I'm over at Safeway and need a ride home. You can't do it that way anymore. So I would say the changes that's happened in this town, this area in 50 years, are largely the services as far as transportation goes. And then one of the other things you would think in just driving around town is, and you had slept through 50 years, is what happened to all the vacant lots? When we came here, we looked around, and there were a couple, three new houses up on the mesa, a couple, three in town, but by and large, it looked like it was the town that just had slept from 1900 on. But by now, it has grown far beyond it seems. We've always found the people friendly here. My husband came home in July. We moved here in June. He came home from town in July, and he said, more people spoke to me on the street this morning than I even know in Denver. We found it delightful to be here.
And what your husband did?
My husband came down here expecting to be a consulting gas engineer, and he called on all of the utilities, and not many of them realized that he really could do them some help. And the man who was down at the county clerk's office, named Joe McDonough, said to him, Bob, why don't you get a transit? I'm the only surveyor around here, and I'm working full-time. And you'll find that you can pay for it within the year. So he looked around and found a used transit for $900, and he said, wow, it's been a long time since Joe's bought a transit. But it did pay for itself, and we built up quite a large survey business and over the years. And he also did what he intended to do, gas engineering, because his boss from up at Denver called. He had been in the gas test labs for public service in Denver. And his boss from up there called him up one day and he says, hey, Bob, they've had a explosion and fire down at Alamosa, and the insurance company wants me to come down. And I told him I could send you. You're a lot closer. So he went down there and got himself very dirty, exploring the thing, crawling under the floor, and finding that they had left some paint solvents down there, which had taken off, and it was not the gas company's fault. And he also did a good presentation in court, and from then on he was in high demand for explosion and gas of all types investigations in a multi-state area he served.
And now what was your job? What did you do?
I'm a graduate nurse, and I was put down on the mortgage sheet as an asset because I could work over at the hospital part-time. And I've always worked weekends so that the children could be babysat by Dad. So I used to work over there. And because I'm from a prestigious-sounding school, not because I had the experience you need in a small hospital, I was appointed an assistant to the superintendent of nurses for a while, director of nurses. And the real director of nurses was Miss Vogelsberg. And I used to say, I'm Vogue for the day, when I filled in for her, Matilda Vogelsberg. But then I went working two times a week. Sometimes it's a little overpowering to see a lot of blood and sadness. And so it was kind of getting to me. And so my husband said, why don't you come to work for me? So I went to work for him, and I said, at least you may not get any pay, but you got a nice boss.
Good.
And so I went to work in the survey office, and after many years, I took the surveyor's exams. When being the first woman in Colorado to take the surveyor's exams, I hold the distinction of being the first woman surveyor in the state. And I immediately retired and went into a refresher class for nursing, and I worked around nursing homes since. for quite a few years. One of the things that I have missed in these more late years are the marching bands from the schools that used to take part. And then there used to be a band concert in the little Alpine Park. The band concert stage is gone from there now. But over by the river, where there used to be just nothing but some grass and trees, there's quite a nice playground area now, fenced for the toddlers, and there's a newly refurbished band shell and seating. But all of us have been delighted to have the rockscaping made into an amphitheater type seating along the river. And over the years, we've seen the Fib Art celebration change a little bit. It used to be very much more international. The Rotary Club and other groups would sponsor somebody from Germany or someplace to come here for the long enough for the races. And all of the business were expected to pitch in and help, and our office girls went down and helped score the slalom races, and I learned a little about how the slalom races are scored that summer. And I was noticing in the 50 year ago paper the other day that they're needing entries for the Fib Art parade. They already had 20 signed up. And those people were making floats. Now we don't have people make floats as much as they used to. The telephone girls used to get together someplace. Everybody had to have a shelter in case it rained, to stuff paper napkins and wire to make all of these floats. It was really quite interesting to see a parade in those days. Really quite. Beth, I think that's all I know.
That's all you know.
Got some questions?
Yes, I was wondering where you came from. You moved here about the 1950s?
I moved here in 1952. We moved here from Denver. We came here from Denver because the traffic was getting so bad in Denver. People that live in Denver longer than that laugh quite loudly.
Look what it is up there now.
We moved to Denver for a reason. That was that Robert was in University of Kansas School of Electrical Engineering at the time the war broke out, and his orders were to stay with that. And when he graduated, then he went in through OCS, and he went to New Jersey to be at the Signal Corps headquarters for training. And in those days, every electrical engineer graduated, quote, every, you know, and went to work at Schenectady, New York, for General Electric. And we were living there in New Jersey, and we're just agog at how crowded things were and how many signs you saw along the road and what New York was like and everything. And so after he'd been in Germany and his time was time to come and settle down with his wife and one child, we said, you know, what is it? Are we working to live or living to work? If you want to live to work, we can be connecting. If you just want to get some money so you can live, go where you want to. And he'd always wanted to be in Colorado because his folks used to come out for the summers to Beulah, Colorado. So he was able to find a job with public service just right after the war. And that brought us to Denver. So then one time we went camping. And I guess we had 9 days off. And I had dirty fingernails for 8 days. And we were going back. And he was saying, oh, dear, I have to go back to that traffic, that town. But I said, well, we can do one step further. We can go someplace. And you can dig ditches. You don't have to be an engineer. So he started being very serious about looking at maps of Colorado. And he came up with Salida and took his little drawing compass and said, look here how many places there are to fish in 50 miles. Then he came down here and got so busy he could hardly fish.
Do you fish too?
No. I was always had to have a license. He was very careful about that because I helped the children. And he didn't want to have to pay any fines for my not having a license if I had a worm in one hand.
Well, tell me about your family.
My family, my direct descendants are two children. The one who was in diapers at the time, we had to send the diapers back by Rio Grande. And the one that was born in New Jersey during the war. So the older one is a boy, and he went to law school up at Denver, and he...
What's his name?
David Harrison. And David went through law school, and his specialty is water. And so I don't know exactly why he early on discovered the Nature Conservancy, but that's his main thing, and it both as recreation and, you know, he supports them as a volunteer, but he also is hired by them. So he thinks he has perhaps one of the best of lives. He gets like an expense-paid trip to Brazil to study dams, and has this year gone to China for the same reason once. And he has a wife, and they have four children between them, hers and theirs kind. And then my daughter is a local person and married a local boy. She married into the Post family, which is an old-time family here, Tinney Post. And she became a medical technologist. I used to say, "What do you want to be?" And she'd say, "I don't know, but I'm not going to be a nurse and I'm not going to be a teacher." But she did Candy Stripe. Candy Stripe is volunteers for school-age children in nursing, in hospital and nursing settings. I don't even know if they have the organization anymore. But they had little red and white striped dresses, and they'd go and talk to people. And so she enjoyed that. But one day she came home and she said, "My old friend died." Some lady she'd been talking to every week. So that didn't encourage her anymore to go into nursing either. And they have two local children and two local grandchildren.
Great. What did Tenny do? What's she doing down at the hospital now?
Tenny was a laboratory technologist. Uh-huh. And as of the end of last calendar year, she and her husband, Leonard Post, who was working as an investigator out of the DA's office, retired in their upper 50s, and have a pickup camper, a boat, and plans to knock around for 3 years at the least. And then if they want to, they'll get part-time jobs, quote.
Good, good. What about organizations here in Salida? What have you joined beside the Methodist Church?
Well, I've worked with children. I've worked, at one time I was simultaneously a Sunday school teacher, a 4-H leader, a campfire leader. I think that's all. But I have worked with children, a grandmother. And I, at one time, was a camp nurse up in Maine, which I enjoyed. One of my last things. And I have not lived in Salida continuously because I had the good fortune to travel around a bit and live maybe 2 weeks, maybe 2 years in other locations. I call it my 10 towns in 10 years, but it took 11.
I think you've been doing a lot of traveling now, haven't you? You're still going.
I'm still fortunate in being able to go. I have a macular degeneration, which means that I cannot see too well. So I am also the oldest of 8 children, and my sisters, one being 13 years younger and one 23 years younger, I have to call them and say, "I need a seeing eye sister," and I also have a brother that'll do this, a couple of them, and I have somebody to get me there without getting lost.
Good. Taking care of you.
Yep.
And you're still getting a chance to travel.
Right. Thanks to other people. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I find that people are real friendly and helpful. And I think maybe Salida even more so than other places.
I'm sure.
It's a great place.
It's always good to come home to Salida, isn't it?
Right. Right. One time when I had been my favorite town, practically, of my 10, Savannah, Georgia, and when I'd take the trash out after dark, my friend would stand on the balcony to be sure I made it to the trash barrel and back. So then when I came back here and was living over on West First, and there's a rather small alleyway that I'd go to get back to where my garbage was, and I'd be going through there, and I'd say, isn't it neat to be back in Salina? I don't even have to worry about going to the garbage after dark.
Good.
Any other questions, Beth?
Well, have you got anything else you want to tell me?
I don't know if you can read that. I just wrote it rather rapidly.
Well, I think you've done a great job for me, Flora.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else you want to say?
I hope that you can get out and get some of those people who were born here. They are some in this town.
Yes.
I ate at one at the senior citizen, with one today at the senior citizen. Mm-hmm. So I know they are some.
I know they are too. Well, thank you very much. We'll talk to you later.
Hopefully off the tape.